and the orchestra here. But while the people are getting here, you'll hear a program by Dave Chaplin's Happiness Orchestra, the first two numbers of which are Somebody and Me and Two Little Words of Love. Thank you. WOR of L. Bamberger and Company of Newark, New Jersey. I'm broadcasting from the Essex County Club. You're listening to Dave Kaplan's Happiness Orchestra. They play first Somebody and Me, next Two Little Words of Love, and while we still have some time before the guests arrive, we play two more Close to Your Heart and Bye Bye Pretty Baby.
Thank you.
Sternberger and Company of Newark, New Jersey. We are sitting very comfortably and easily in the Essex County Club. You are listening to Kaplan's melodies playing for you while the guests of the orchestra of the afternoon arrive. The two numbers just played were Pretty Little Baby and Close to Your Heart. The next, Sometimes I'm Happy, from the hit the deck, and Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hamburger & Company in Newark, New Jersey. Kaplan Mellor is playing for you in the dining room of the Essex County Club. There's two numbers, Sometimes I'm Happy and Hallelujah from Sympathetic. And the next two numbers will be I'll Always Remember You and I Can't Believe That You're in Love.
Bamberger and Company of Newark, New Jersey, broadcasting from the Essex County Club. The two numbers just played by Kaplan Melodists, I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me, and I'll Always Remember You. This program is a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the phonograph, which was invented by Thomas Edison, and Mr. Whitten has been out at the home of Thomas Edison carrying the broadcast through, and he'll give you now a brief resume of everything that happened out there. Mr. Whitten.
We thank Mr. Gambling, and there are two reasons for our making this resume. The first, to give the orchestra an opportunity to rest for several moments, and the second, to bring to our radio audience who may not have had the opportunity of listening to the ceremonies from the home of Thomas Edison, the complete story of the proceedings as they took place there. Seated on the platform were Thomas A. Edison, His Excellency the Governor of the State of New Jersey, A. Harry Moore, Charles Edison, the son of Thomas A., and Nelson C. Durand, the Vice President of the Edison Phonograph Company, Incorporated. The first speech was made by Mr. Durand, greeting Mr. Edison, Governor Moore, and the audience present on the lawn of Glenmouth, which is the home of Thomas A. Edison in Llewellyn Park in West Orange. Mr. Durand also introduced to the radio audience and the present guests Mr. O.K. Van Orsdahl and Miss Betty Atwell of Boston, who acted as flower girl and made the presentation of the 50 yellow Pernet roses to Mr. Edison, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the phonograph, and may we add the forerunner of its little brother. We repeat a phrase we used earlier, but equally, if not more important, the Ediphone. Following the presentation of these 50 roses, Charles Edison, in view of the fact that Mr. Edison is known for his reticence and disinclination to talk on the radio, made the speech of acceptance. Young Mr. Edison is the president of Thomas A. Edison Industries, and he was followed by Mr. Durand again, who introduced the governor, A. Harry Moore. The governor eulogized Mr. Edison, as is befitting and becoming a man who has done so much for the progress of science and the progress of modern civilization. Following Governor Moore's address, we heard the response by Charles Edison for Mr. Edison to that address, and again we heard Mr. Durand make introductory remarks to the address made by the phonograph. And one of the most effective things that we have probably ever witnessed or ever heard was the playing of the Edisonic, the latest Edison phonograph, really talking to Mr. Edison, the chief. The voice was in the first person, representing the Edisonic, and spoke of having been together 50 years, Chief, 50 years of adventure and achievement. And finally, we did have the honor and the pleasure of hearing Mr. Edison repeat to the phonograph and to the radio audience the first words he spoke into his original phonograph of brass and tin foil. It was the familiar piece of poetry that we learned when we were so very young, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and so forth and so on. We find ourselves now in the Essex County Country Club, where the proceedings are being continued with a luncheon and entertainment in honor of the 50th anniversary of the phonograph, at which we have the presence of various members of the Edison organization. In just a moment, we're going to ask Dave Kaplan and his office to continue that dance music for our radio audience. I'm going to play a medley of selections by Victor Herbert.
Thank you.
Queens from the musical comedy Bye Bye Bonnie, and Look at the World and Smile from Yours Truly, played for us by Dave Kaplan's melody. That program is being broadcast by station WOR on L. Bamberger and Company at Newark, New Jersey, from the Essex County Country Club in Llewellyn Park, West Orange, New Jersey. The event is the 50th anniversary of the phonograph, the luncheon being given in honor of Thomas A. Edison, who sits at the head of the speaker's table. We, who are now alive, are slow to realize this because of the amazing fact that Edison, the creator of the age we live in, is himself still alive and still at work. Founders of epochs are not usually appreciated until the century in which they lived has slipped into the past. The age of steam of James Watt began in 1769 with the invention of the first steam engine, but few people were aware of the fact until 100 years had passed. And this new Edison age began about 50 years ago. It began when Edison found new ways to give the world light and music and time and power and communication. It has now superseded the age of steam, just as steam superseded slave power, and slave power superseded savagery and the reign of the lower animals. This is not the age of electricity alone. It is rather an age of miracles in which electricity plays its part. And the chief of the miracle workers is still alive. We have celebrated his 80th birthday this year. Such miracles, such fairy tales come true, have never been known nor imagined in any other period of human history. Talk about Aladdin and his wonderful lamp. His wonderful lamp was a flickering tallow candle. It was a childish toy compared with Edison's wonderful electric lamp, which has given daylight to a world at night and which has magically created such palaces of trade and commerce as Aladdin never imagined. Talk about the miracle of a camel going through the eye of a needle. What is that one compared with the Edisonian miracle of a whole grand opera going through a needle's point? Talk about the Delphic oracle, whose ambiguous words mystified the ancient Greeks. What child's play was it when compared with the words that are heard and remembered and spoken by another Edisonian miracle, the supreme miracle of the Ediphone?
Edison was not appreciated as a boy. His teacher said he was addled. He was not appreciated as an employee.
The employer said he was lazy. The word often scoffed, the world often scoffed at his inventions and said, it can't be done. And yet we know now that he was the least addled and the least lazy and the most highly skilled and creative person whom the human race has ever produced. It is only at midnight that we appreciate the sun. The fact is that we live and move and have our being in the midst of these Edisonian miracles. They are for the pleasure and the profit of the poor as well as the rich. They are the only sort of miracles that have been democratized. They have become so universal that we take them for granted as though they were the work of nature and not of one man who is personally known to many of us. As for Edison himself, this lack of praise and full appreciation does not trouble him. He is too busy creating new miracles. Praise, in fact, falls off him like water off a duck's back. He looks up for a moment in surprise and confusion when the spotlight falls upon him, and then goes on with his work. If you give him a gold medal, he's apt to forget it on the ferry boat on his way home. His mind is on something else. Again and again, he has been robbed of the praise and profit both. He has had to fight 200 lawsuits to protect his patents from being snatched away. His inventions under alien names are being marketed in every country in the world. But this does not halt him, nor slacken his energy to create. He was at work today. He will be at work tomorrow, inventing some new surprise to please and benefit the world. Such a man. If you mention his 1,200 inventions to him, he only gives you one of his whimsical smiles and says, well, I have been mixed up in a lot of things, haven't I? What a life. Born in a shingle maker's cottage in an Ohio village which remains unknown for any other reason, educated by his mother and out in the world to shift for himself when he was barely 12. Always a reader of great books, he has studied Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire and Dumay's History of England at a time when most boys are trying to understand decimals. At 18, he had bought and studied the complete works of Faraday. Also, he had developed his imagination on the works of Jules Verne and Dumas and Victor Hugo and Shakespeare. What boy had ever a better education than that? This little booklet, we've only read 6 pages from it, includes 24. We feel that while there is every reason for our interest in these facts, that perhaps you prefer music, we'd like to read the whole thing. We shall on our way back to our studio from here. And we're almost tempted to suggest that if you'd like this booklet, we're taking the liberty ourselves. It's entitled The Marvels of the Edison Age by Herbert N. Catton. If you were to write in and ask for it, we'll see if WOR can arrange for the Edison Company to send each one of you one of these pamphlets. This is station WOR, owned and operated by L. Bamberger and Company at Newark, New Jersey. And adhering to our suggestion of promise a moment ago, we're going to ask the music, Dave Kaplan's Melodist, to continue for us.